side. Rest to the restless, freedom from fear, when things seem impossible.
It's now time for worship with the Family Circle of Souls Harbor. We invite you, your family, and your friends in this next hour to worship with Pastor Rick Libby and the Souls Harbor Singers as they lead you in the songs of the church and in the sharing of God's Word.
For all of the problems of life, the answer is Christ.
Good morning, friends. What a wonderful day God has given to us to gather together for this Souls Harbor worship service. I'm Pastor Rick Libby, the senior pastor of the Souls Harbor Ministry. This morning as I awoke from my sleep, I found myself singing an old song that we sang many years ago when I was even just a boy. It goes a little bit like this. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Now, what that says to me is this. Not everything may be going my way. Not everything may be going the way that I want it to. But in everything that I'm facing today, if I face it with Jesus, today can be sweeter than it was yesterday. Because somehow, regardless of what we're facing as far as challenges, trials, or tribulations may be concerned, when we face it with Jesus, Jesus makes all things possible. Therefore, He makes all things all right. Today, on that note, I think I want evangelist Jonathan Garlock to come and sing a song of testimony. It kind of goes along with how I'm feeling as we start this day out. He's coming to sing Still Sweeter Every Day. Why don't you sing this song along with him if you know it? Because it is the testimony of our hearts that as we walk with Jesus each and every day gets a little bit better, gets a little bit sweeter than it was the day before. Let's worship the Lord together as evangelist Jonathan Garlock comes and shares this song with us today.
To Jesus every day I find my heart is closer drawn. He's fairer than the glory of the gold and purple dawn. He's all my fancy pictures in its fairest dreams and more. Each day He grows still sweeter than He was the day before. My heart is sometimes heavy, but He comes with sweet relief. He folds me to His bosom when I droop with blinding grief. I love the Christ who all my burden in His body bore. Each day He grows still sweeter than He was the day before. The half cannot be fancied, this side the golden shore. Oh, there he'll still be sweeter than He ever was before. His glory broke upon me when I saw Him from afar. He's fairer than the lily, brighter than the morning star. He fills and satisfies my longing spirit o'er and o'er. Each day He grows still sweeter than He was the day before. The half cannot be fancied, that side the golden shore. Oh, there He'll still be sweeter than he ever was before. Yes, there he'll still be sweeter than he ever was before.
It could be today that while evangelist Jonathan Garlock was singing that song, that you were having a hard time to agree with what he was singing. Perhaps for you, every day isn't sweeter than it was the day before. Perhaps it could be said of you, I know this is true, it can be said of some, that today is more bitter than yesterday was. More things have gone wrong today than they did yesterday. It feels like the weight of the world is heavier today than it was yesterday. For you, every day isn't sweeter. Every day just seems to get a little bit worse than it was the day before. Now, could it be today? I know I could get in trouble right here at the early part of this service by offending some folk, but could it be today that the reason you're struggling so greatly with the things that are happening around you is because things aren't quite right between you and God? You see, I'll agree, it will be harder for things to be sweeter today than they were yesterday if today you are further away from God than you were yesterday. Perhaps this next song that Wanda St. Peter is coming to sing is the song that you need to sing as a prayer of your heart today. All of us would benefit from having just a closer walk with thee. With who? A closer walk with God. Now keep this in mind today. That is entirely up to you. God desires to walk with you, but how much desire do you have, do we have, to walk with Him? Well, I hope you can sing this song as a prayer as Wanda comes and leads us today in just a closer walk with thee.
Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my
I'm certain today that as Wanda was singing that song, there were a lot of people that perhaps don't have any church background, yet they know that song. they could sing the song with her. But you have to understand today, in order for that song to be a genuine prayer of our heart, we first of all have to pray a very specific prayer in order for us to have a closer walk with God. We can't walk with Him as long as there is a wall between us and God. That wall is the wall of sin that has not yet been dealt with within us. When we ask God to please forgive us, that opens up a whole new world to us. Because when we pray that prayer, then we can pray, Lord, let me have a closer walk with You. I'll admit today, the closer we get to God, the easier it is to live in this world that we're living today. Well, again, I'm just going to get to preaching if I'm not careful here. So I'm going to ask Golden Harmony to come and sing a song that I dearly love to hear them sing. And every time they sing it, I find myself praying this prayer within my heart once again. You see, you can never go to the foot of that cross too many times. There is always a little bit more work that God can do with us when we ask God to forgive us of any sin that may be within us. While Golden Harmony is coming to sing, why don't you also sing this song as a prayer? Pray, please forgive me.
Sleep is gone, heart is full of sorrow. I can't believe how much I've let you down. Dread the pain that waits for me tomorrow. When the sun reveals my broken dreams scattered on the ground. Please forgive me. Need your grace to make it through. All I have is You, and at Your mercy, Lord, I'll serve You till my dying day. Help others find their way. I'm at Your mercy. Please forgive me. I can't believe God of earth and glory would take the time to care for one like me. I've read the Bible, I've read the old story, how You pled for my forgiveness while dying on that tree. Please forgive me. Need Your grace to make it through. All I have is You, at Your mercy. Lord, I'll serve You until my dying day. Help others find their way, at Your mercy. Grace to make it through. All I have is You, I'm at Your mercy. Lord, I'll serve You till my dying day. Help others sinners find their way at your mercy.
Please forgive me.
Forgive me. Forgive me.
Please forgive me.
I'm not certain how you may feel about this world that we're living in today, but when I look at the things that are taking place around us, and I look at the things that we are using to try to cope with a world that seems to be out of control, I just don't have a lot of hope in what man is going to be able to accomplish. It sort of starts with the lack of understanding of how much we need God. Only God and God's presence in the life of mankind can change the things that need to be changed in order for peace to come to our world. In order for some things that are happening to stop and some things that are not happening to start, it's going to take God. What that means is this. God has to first begin to work within our individual lives. If we're looking for the church to change the world, that's not possible until God first begins to change us as an individual. The church changes the world by God changing us and we joining forces with others of like faith and like-mindedness, being led by one Spirit, and in that we can change this world that we're living in today. But the first thing that has to happen is our personal world has to change first. That can only happen by inviting Jesus to come in and releasing Him to have His way within us. One of the hardest things that man will ever do is to become submissive to God, meaning that he gives God control of his own will. Today, if we'll do that, there is no limit to what can be done. But until we do that, our world is limited. Our victories are short-lived and few and far between because we have not given God the opportunity to rule first within our personal lives. As I take your needs and your burdens to God in prayer today, I just want to ask God to help you to come to a place where you can make a decision where you will say yes to whatever God desires for your life. If you let Him shape and mold you, you won't be disappointed. No, friend, you won't. But until you do that, there's just so much God can do. His hands are tied because He will never violate our personal free will. But if we will give Him the place today, He can rule our hearts. And in ruling our hearts, He will bring things into our lives that we will never regret. But they will, in turn, make the difference that we are looking for, that we are yearning for. Today, would you give Him control as I lead you in prayer? Just say, Lord, please forgive me. Lord, please take control of my life. That's a prayer that God will always answer if we will but ask Him. Let's join together in prayer today. Dear Jesus, we come to You on bended knee, bowing in Your presence. A submissive act, Lord, meaning that we are not standing over You to rule You, but we are bowing before You so You will rule us. Lord, please forgive us of our sin today. Through Your grace, Your mercy, cover us with the shed blood of Jesus Christ that was shed upon an old rugged cross for our redemption. Lord, when You have cleansed us from our sin, I pray that You will enter into our lives to rule us, to help us step by step to walk with You in the Spirit. That, Lord, as you lead us in that Spirit, we will see things accomplished with our lives that will amaze us. For, Lord, we could never do them on our own. But with your help today, there is great victory. Lord, help us to change the world that we live in by first letting you change our lives. Lord, I pray that you will speak to men and women today, especially those who need to understand that the only thing holding you back is them saying yes. So, Lord, help us to say yes to you. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.
Angels never knew the joy that is mine, for the blood has never washed their sins away. Though they sing in heaven, there will come a time when silently they'll listen to me sing Amazing Grace. And it's a song holy angels cannot sing. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. It's a song holy angels cannot sing. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Holy is the Lord, the angels sing. For me to join their song would be a natural thing, but they just don't know the words to love lifted me. And it's a song holy angels cannot sing. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. It's a song holy angels cannot sing. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was
I think before we go any further in this service today, that we all need to be reminded that asking for God to forgive us of our sins, asking for God to make us one of His children, is only the first step. There are depths in our Christian journey that we can't even begin to imagine today, but we have to walk with God to get there. You see, you'll never be all that you can be. You may have skills, you may have talents, you may be gifted in many ways, but no man can tell what will happen to one when they yield their lives completely to God and walk with Him every step of one's life. Today, if you want to reach your full potential, if you want to go to places that you never could get to on your own, you need to be led by the hand of God. You need the touch of the Master's hand upon your life, because no matter what your past has been, your walk with God is not determined by your past. Your walk with God is determined by what you do from this moment forward. If you'll walk with God and let the Master, oh, that great Creator, the potter of this broken clay, if you'll let Him touch your life, you'll discover that He can do things with you and in you that no one else can do. I think you'll hear it in the message of this song that Daryl Dyer is coming to sing for us as he comes to sing The Touch of the Master's Hand.
It was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer felt it was hardly worth his while to waste too much time on this old violin, but he held it up with a smile. It sure isn't much, but it's all we got left. Suppose we ought to sell it too. Oh, now who start the bid on this old violin? Just one more and we'll be through. And he cried out, one, give me $1. Who make it two? Only $2. Who make it three? $3 twice, now that's a good price. But who's got a bid for me? Raise up your hands, don't wait any longer. The auction's about to end. Who's got four? Just $1 more. To bid on the soul violin. The air was hot and the people stood around as the sun was setting low. From the back of the crowd, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. He wiped the dust from the old violin and then he tightened up the string. And then he played out a melody pure and sweet, sweeter than the angels sing. And then the music stopped, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, he said, now who start the bid on this old violin? Then he held it up with a bow. Who make it two? Only 2,000. Who make it three? 3,000 twice. Now that's a good price. But who's got a bid for me? People cried out, what made the change? We don't understand. Then the auctioneer stopped and he said with a smile, it was the touch of the Master's hand, it was the touch of the Master's, it was the touch of the Master's hand. Now don't you know many a man with his life out of tune, he's battered and scarred with sin. He's auctioned cheap to this thankless world, much like the old violin. But then the Master comes and the foolish crowd, they never understand. Oh, the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought with just one touch of the Master's hand. And he cried out, one, give me 1,000. Who make it two? Only 2,000. Who make it three? 3,000 twice, now that's a good price. But who's got a bid for me? People cried out, what made the change? We don't understand. Then the auctioneer stopped and he said with a smile, it was the touch of the Master's hand. It was the touch of the Master.
Hey. It goes beyond our imaginations today to fully realize what could be if we would just let Jesus have His way in our life. We who were nothing would suddenly become something. We who could do nothing could suddenly do all things through Christ that strengthened us. We could go further than we ever could go on our own, to do more than we could ever accomplish within ourselves, if we would just listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit speaking within us, and then follow that Spirit as it leads us, doing the will of God in each of our lives. Oh, how we could change the world. Today, as we pause for a moment or two in this service to talk to you about the needs of the Souls Harbor Ministries, that's exactly what I'd like for you to think a little bit about. Just what could be if we would do what God was putting it in our heart to do. For the Souls Harbor Ministry, we could expand our outreach and go to places we have never been before to touch lives that have perhaps never been touched before. But you see, in order for that to happen, we need you to stand with us. Without your help, it just won't be possible. But with your help, there is no limit to where this ministry could reach and what it could do through the working of the Holy Spirit as it anoints the singers and those who participate in this ministry. Now, that includes you too, as my friend, because as you help this ministry, God is going to turn around and bless your life and help accomplish some things for you because you have been obedient to the speaking of the Holy Spirit. Today, I just ask you one more time, very humbly, because you've already done so much for us. We absolutely understand that we could not be here today without you. But because you have stood with us, here we are, performing one more service so that we could reach out one more time. If you'll continue to help us, we'll be able to return next week and do it again because of God's faithfulness and your faithfulness. So please, prayerfully consider what God might have you to do to help us with the expenses of airing this Sunday morning worship service for you. In the U.S., you would write to Souls Harbor, Post Office Box 275, Corinth, Maine, 04427. To make a contribution by MasterCard, Visa, or Discover Card, please call our U.S. office at 207-285-3131. You can also take advantage of our online contribution. Just go to our website, soulsharbor.tv. If you'll click on the donate button at the bottom of the homepage, you'll be able to get a contribution directly to us. That service is free of charge to you, so please don't hesitate to use it if you feel comfortable using it. For our friends in Canada, please write to our Canadian office at Souls Harbor, Post Office Box 611, Centerville, New Brunswick, E7K3H5. In Canada, to make a contribution by Visa, MasterCard, or Discover Card, please call our Canadian office at 506-276-3551. Thank you so much for helping us with the needs of the Souls Harbor Ministry. We do sincerely appreciate it. We appreciate you, the giver. We appreciate your gift, and it is our promise today that we will ask God to return a blessing upon your life for whatever you are able to do to help us. We have some of the greatest supporters that any ministry could ever have, and we pray daily that God will bless you for standing with us and enabling us to do what God has laid upon our heart to do. For every soul that is touched, you have just as much a part of that as anybody you see in front of these cameras today. So share in the blessing of reaching out to others who need a touch of Jesus in their life. Today, just before I share something from the Word of God, I'm going to go over and sing another old song of the church, one that I think a lot of us will know today, so I invite you once again to sing it along with me. The song is entitled, In the Garden. I love this song. I love the message of this song. For me, this message talks about my life. How about you today? Can you say that He walks with you and He talks with you? I hope so. If not, you could change it while we're singing this song today. Just call on the name of Jesus. Invite Him into your life, and you'll discover the joy that so many of the rest of us have enjoyed down through the years, to be able to fellowship with Jesus. Well, if I'm not careful, I'll get to preaching right here and won't ever get to the song. So let me go over and sing the song. You join in with me, and we'll sing it together today, In the Garden.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and He walks with me. Hush, they're singing, and the melody that He gave to me within my heart is ringing, and He with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
For those who may not be familiar with the inspiration of that song, let me just take a very quick moment to share with you how this song came to be. It was written by the name of Austin Miles, a pharmacist who dearly loved to read the Word of God. One day around Easter, as he was reading the Easter story, he read that part of the story that talked about the tomb being empty and how Mary had come to the tomb that day and began to weep as she looked inside the tomb to see the tomb empty, the body of Jesus gone. Austin Miles, just in his own mind and heart, saw the grief. He heard the sobs of Mary in her mourning and in her sorrow. As he saw that picture in his mind, he began to look beyond what the scene was to understand a little bit of how she must have been grieving at the fact that she would not ever see Jesus again. At that moment, she did not know that Jesus was alive and well, that his body had not been stolen away, but it had come back to life, resurrected, and walked out of that tomb that he had lain in for 3 days. Mary, overtaken by grief, full of sorrow, so unhappy, so dismayed. Mr. Miles, when he wrote that song, realized that the fact that there was not going to be any fellowship with Jesus only added to her sorrow. And it wasn't until Jesus came to her and spoke her name, when she realized that it was Jesus, joy returned. There was great happiness, because now all of a sudden the relationship, the fellowship that could not be, now could once again become and grow and become great. Now, I know that that's a little unpolished, and maybe I didn't say that as eloquently as I could have, but what I'm trying to get at today in telling you about the inspiration for that song is that what inspired the writer was this thing of fellowship that mankind had with Jesus. Everything seemed to hinge on that fellowship, being able to walk and talk with God. I said all of that to say this today. It is the same with you and I. If we are going to survive this world that we're living in today, we're going to have a fellowship with God, one where we can walk and talk with Him. But if you're like me and are not willing to settle for just surviving, but want to be able to actually thrive in a world that seems to be so unfriendly towards us, so inhospitable towards us, then we have most certainly got to have a fellowship with Jesus, where each and every day we can walk with Him and talk with Him, because therein lies the keys of surviving and then thriving in our world today. Now, maybe you're sadly deceived in thinking that there's nothing wrong with this world in which we live. But everywhere you look today, there is great sadness and sorrow. There is an ugliness, a quality that just isn't what it ought to be, because sin has ruled people's lives. Men are only guided by the limits of their consciousness. And what we've learned in our day is that our conscience can be seared with a hot iron, where we lose our sensitivity to right and wrong, to what is valuable and what is not valuable, what needs to be and what shouldn't be. Because of man's perverted way of thinking in our world today, we only heap more sorrows, more hardships, and greater weakness upon our lives. But if we would do just some very simple, easy things, we could turn our own personal lives around, and in turning our personal lives around, we could turn the world in which we live around. This world cannot change, as I've already said in this service. This world cannot change unless we first allow God to change us. Everybody has a bad day. One of the things I had to learn early in life is that you have to give people room some days, because they're just having a bad day. I have bad days. I'd like for people to give me a little extra room on days like that. But when every day is that way, then there's something wrong with our relationship with God. Otherwise, though we may have a bad day once in a while, generally we're having good days, because every day we spend with Jesus is a good day. We have been talking to you about the keys to surviving and thriving. And today, I'd like to finish this little series of messages up and move on to something else next week. But we've been taking our text from the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1, verse 12 says this, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Now, the latter part of that verse is speaking about the promise of eternity. But before we get to that moment, we've got to endure the temptations that we come in contact with here on earth. James said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." In other words, when temptation comes, he endures the test of weakness and overcomes that weakness, and that man is blessed. How do we overcome the weakness that has come our way, that we are tempted with, that we have a hard time to endure, that we don't fall prey to? Well, as we've already said, it starts with having a life of praise and worship. Every day, we're giving God the praise and the worship that He is so worthy of. We join that praise with prayer. Our prayer is cradled within our praise and our worship. Through those two things, we are drawn closer to God. I defy you to have a life of prayer and praise and not be close to God. It just doesn't work that way, because in praising Him, we are drawn naturally to Him. He sets us free from the fetters of this world. We're like Paul and Silas, who were put in jail. When they started singing praise to God, the jailhouse shook, the bars released them, and they were set free through their praise. Oh, I got to say it one more time today. Hardships may come our way, and the burdens of life may be heavy and try to hold us down. But through our praise and our worship, there is a freedom. There is a liberty that comes. There is a joy that is restored. And we find life so much easier to deal with, especially when we are talking with God throughout each and every day. But very quickly today, I want to give you this third key, because I believe this is the key that unlocks the final lock. I know you can go just so far with praise. I know you can go just so far with prayer. Don't get me wrong. I believe you'll go further with those two things than you could by using anything else. When you are doing what the Word of God demands that we do, then you're unlocking door after door after door in your life, allowing God to come further into your life. And through your intimacy with God, God does great things. But if you're involving yourself in praise and in prayer, you can count on this third thing happening, and in this third thing, you will find complete liberty. That is the presence of God. The thing that bothers me about our world today is that we have de-emphasized the presence of God. Oh, we might talk about praise, we might talk about prayer, but we stop at those two conversations, not realizing or wanting to remember that in doing them, we usher ourselves into God's presence. Without God's presence in our life, then we're not going to be able to make it. we're just not going to be able to accomplish all that we desire to accomplish. If I had time today, I'd take you to the book of Acts, where Jesus prophesied before his ascension that we would receive power after that the Holy Ghost had come upon us. When you go to Acts chapter 2, you discover 120 people in the upper room, not really knowing what they were waiting for, not really understanding what it would be when it arrived, but they heard Jesus say, "Tarry until the promise comes." In Acts chapter 2, we see where the fulfillment of that prophecy became a reality. Where did we find the disciples when Jesus was laid in the tomb? They went into hiding. They were afraid that anybody who could identify them would know where they were and do the same to them as had been done to Jesus. But on the day of Pentecost, the day when the promise of Jesus had been fulfilled, when power came into that upper room, nobody had to say, "Is this that Jesus was talking about?" They all understood that the Comforter had come, and in his coming, he brought with them a power that released them from any fear that would have bound them. Those disciples that were in hiding behind locked doors, they had joined with many others and they hit the street. The power of God being released in their lives. And the Bible tells us that 3,000 souls were added to the church on that one day. Why? Because people who were ill-equipped to face the world that they were living in suddenly found their lives full of the power of God because the presence of God had come upon them. Oh, I know I'm getting a little too excited for some folk, and you're not comfortable with this kind of preaching. But let me tell you today, if you're going to survive, if you're going to thrive in this world that we're living in, it's going to take the power and the presence of God working within you to help you to take those final steps in overcoming the things that would shackle and imprison your life. We have to walk in the Spirit. We have to be led by the Spirit. The Bible tells us that if we are led by the Spirit, there is liberty. It's hard for the Spirit to be free if there is no liberty that comes through the divine presence of God. As I said just a moment ago, through our praise and our prayer, we draw closer to God and God draws closer to us. That's what he said. He said, "Draw nigh." That means we take the first step. We step towards God. And in our taking a step towards God, God comes to us. It's now not just God dwelling around us, but now it's God dwelling within us. Until a man allows God to dwell within him, he is always going to be vulnerable to the temptations of this world. A man cannot live victorious when he is prone to weakness towards these things that come and tempt him, things that come to try him. But if we will rise up in the power of God that God has promised to us, when temptation comes, we are no longer weak. We are no longer vulnerable to those things. But we can, just as the Bible says, resist the devil, and the devil will flee from us. If you want to survive, if you want to thrive, then let the presence of God come into your life. Don't be afraid of that presence. Don't be afraid of that power. One of the things that I unfortunately see happening in a lot of ministries today is we're afraid to let God have control. Let God loose in our midst and see what God will do. God's a gentleman. God's not going to hurt us or harm us. But what God will do is empower us. And in empowering us, He will equip us to deal with this world that we're living in. Oh, I need to pray for you just before we leave today. Heavenly Father, I pray, open the doors and windows of heaven. Pour your Spirit upon us in these last days. God, have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Safe evermore. Oh,